to preface some things. If anything I teach he doesn't agree with, he's right, I'm wrong, okay? I was going to say he could raise his hand and disagree, but I don't want to give that chance. If you got your Bibles, take them and turn to the book of Romans. We have the opportunity to go to two funerals this week. One is a man who lived 55 years and got saved 6 days before he died. And we're rejoicing over that one. What's that? And the other one is a man who lived 60 years for the glory of God. And you know something? They're both going to the same heaven.
Right.
I'm happy for it. And so we get to rejoice in that. I've often thought about salvation. And I talked to a preacher a couple of weeks ago and said, I'd like to have the opportunity sometime to teach an adult soul winning program. Now, you say, what do you mean an adult soul winning program? Where folks know what they talk about. I've done the five-finger, salvation plan. I've done all kinds of little, they're all the same when it gets down to it. But what the person knows that's teaching it. Last year, I spent 1 year in the book of Hebrews, looking at salvation from God's point of view. It was a blessing. Absolute blessing. As a Christian, it encouraged me and, Lord willing, strengthened me. And so this year, I decided that asked God what I should go and learn and everything, and he directed me to the book of Romans. Now, I love Romans, but I've never attacked it the way I have this time. And Romans is a book that looks at salvation from man's perspective so that we understand it this way. And so that's what I want to look at a little bit. And at the top of your sheet, you'll see there's four times in the Word of God that God uses this phrase, the just shall live by faith. I've got those four listed there. I was going to try to go through and quickly explain each one of them, but the more I went, the longer I figured I'd be done about 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I didn't think you'd stay that long, and I didn't think he was willing to pay that much. So so I cut it kind of down a little bit, and I want to go through what it says in Romans. So in your Bibles, if you're there, I want to show you a couple of things before we get into it. Now, in the Bible that I know of, there's only one person who God takes us in his life before he was saved and takes him all the way through the steps of salvation and explains it in his life. And that's the man Abraham. And I'll show you what I'm talking about there. But in the book of Romans, I want you to see a couple of things. Romans is written by the Apostle Paul, because he's called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But he works his way through the Jews and into the Gentiles. He's a tremendously talented man in that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrew and touching the law blameless. So he was readily involved in all the things that the law had to do. But he was also, when he got saved, he was, we believe, taken 3 years into the desert, went to Bible school, and learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a lot of his writings have to do with that. I believe he wrote the book of Hebrews, and in order to write the book of Hebrews, you had to have a spiritual teacher. You absolutely have, and we'll look at that in just a second. But he comes to the Romans here. And I believe he has a mixture of people. I believe he has some Romans, some Jews there, and I believe he has some Gentiles there. And he says to them, hey, I'm here to talk about Jesus Christ. I want you to look at Romans 1, verse 9, first of all. This tells us so much about the Apostle Paul. He said in verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. He didn't say I serve with my life or my flesh. He said I serve him with my spirit. if you're going to have a solid walk with God and walk by faith, the just shall live by faith. If you're going to have that, you're going to have to serve God with your spirit. You better learn how to let your spirit hear from God. Pastor talked about that the other day when he was preaching on husbands and wives and everything else. I'm just saying to you, the Apostle Paul opens up and says, hey, this is something I learned in my spirit. I didn't sit down and go to Bible college. I learned this in my spirit. But he goes on to say, look over, if you would, at verse 16, first of all. It says, for I am not ashamed. Now, that doesn't mean that doesn't give me the idea of being timid or something like that. He said, I'm standing on solid ground. When I talk about the gospel, I'm standing on solid truth. I don't say I have a hope-soul salvation. I say I have a no-soul salvation. I have a salvation built upon God's promise. That's why I love the book of Hebrews so much and what it taught me looking at my salvation from God's eyes. But anyway, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You get saved the same way I get saved. Now, what happens after that may be a little different because God's dealing with all of us in different ways. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm going into this group of people. I'm going into my mission, and I am absolutely sure I'm not ashamed. I'm not confused. When I say to someone, this is what the Word of God said, this is what the Word of God said. When I say to someone, this is a promise from God, he said, I know it's a promise from God. And he settles that down. He says, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I'm going to ask you to do something real quick here. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, I want you to just see something here. Here's what he's talking about. The gospel did not start with Adam and Eve. The first one to believe the gospel was the Son of God. Notice what verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Before anything began, the Son of God was. Amen?
Amen.
Now watch this. Who being the brightness of his glory, that's talking about his righteousness, and the express image of his person, he was just like God. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Before the foundation, five times in the Bible it says, before the foundation of the world, Christ paid for our sins. God looked at his Son and said, Son, this is what I'm going to do. And Jesus said, I believe that. And the Bible says there, and he had purged, when he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. In other words, it was already done before the world was spoken into existence. Salvation was set. The Lord Jesus Christ had accepted what he was going to do. There are three times in the Bible where the phrase faith of Christ, not faith in Christ, faith of Christ. Before anybody believed God, Jesus did. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. So from faith to faith. Faith started with Jesus Christ and then came to Adam and Eve. From faith to faith. Faith will not spread by some magical potion being sent in the world. It's going to be sent from your heart to a lost person's heart. If we don't take the gospel story, it will stop with us. God said, I'm going to start America, and America was started under the direction of God to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. We got in trouble when we started pulling it in. We didn't get in trouble when our government went this way or that way. We got in trouble when Christians sat in their churches on their blessed assurance and wanted a program to please them rather than a program to send them into the world. That's what happened. So the Apostle Paul, go back if you would, to Romans chapter, and he begins real quickly here. He said, let me tell you what mankind is like. Romans chapter 1, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this. Romans chapter 1 just tells you how sinful and depravity fills the heart of mankind. Man is depraved. If you don't, now listen to this, if you don't keep up with your faith, you will fall back. You don't lose it, but you will, if you don't use it, you will lose it. Now, I've heard that about songs and this and that. I'm telling you about the gospel. If Christians don't use it, they're going to lose it. The just shall live by faith. Now, take your Bibles, and we're going to go on a quick journey here to Romans chapter 5. I want you to see, first of all, I love the book of, I love those two books because they build line upon line. Oh, it's just, in Romans chapter, four. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by the works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the scripture? Oh, I love that. I believe it's the King James. You got that? I'm not trying anything on the fringe, folks. I'm trying exactly what I believe in and I trust. And so he says, scriptures, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, get these words, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Take your Bibles. Let's go on this little journey. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced to Abraham. The Bible simply says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, that's a sad statement. I wish it would said, so-and-so spoke to Abraham, or to Abram about salvation. But I believe that God looks around and says, I've got no one to go to this man. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus simply said, the gospel can't stop. God in his grace and his mercy brought his presence down to Abram. Get thee out of the country from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. The promise of a place of eternity is given to this man, Abram. Every lost person's got to be first of all told that there's a place that exists. Amen? There's a place that exists. Pete went from his deathbed to his heavenly home. 55 years, his last words on his deathbed to me before he got saved was, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want God to bother me. I don't want to go to heaven. You've got nothing to say that I want to hear. Will you please just get out of my face? That was his last words to me before he got saved, because I left. I'm so thankful. I'm glad that I'm one of four that got to open the roof and let the thing down, the little cart down. I was one of four men. I thought, I was brokenhearted. I thought, oh man, God's just looking for a man. God's looking for a prayer warrior. God's looking for someone that just cares. Judy's father, I prayed for that man for almost 40 years before he got saved. I wasn't going to give up. Your brother-in-law. I prayed for that man for 43 years. I traveled 1,200 miles. I called him up and I said, Dick, I want to come up and see you. And I said, I just want to talk to you about God. The last time, he said he wasn't interested. God wouldn't let him drop it. I didn't care if he was interested. God was interested. And as long as God laid his name on my heart, God was interested in him hearing the gospel. I called him up and I said, Dick, I said, I want to come up there and see you. He said, good, right? good, yeah. I said, I want to talk to you about something. I said, will you sit and talk with me? Yes, I will. He and I sat in a restaurant after 43 years of praying for that man. He bowed his head, asked Christ to be a savior,
amen.
Walked out that restaurant, not only full of food, but full of God.
Amen.
Now, folks, I'm just telling you, God's interested in saving your lost loved ones. God lives to save people, amen. God comes down to Abram. Abram didn't have a background. Abram was the son of a devil worshiper. Terah, his dad, was a devil worshiper. He was a Gentile amongst the Gentiles. If you were to read the book of Genesis, you'd find out just how bad the Gentiles had gotten. In chapter 10, we see the building of the Tower of Babel. I mean, they had just so gotten that nobody wanted any dealings with God, let alone talk about the gospel. God says, I'm going to come down to Abram. There's a life. There's a land that I own. That I'm willing to give to you. And you watch and see. Now go to chapter 15. I don't know the number of years, but in chapter 15, I see, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You don't always get him the first visit, folks. Even God didn't get Abram the first visit, but God said, I'm going back. God went back and said to him, Abram, let me tell you a little bit more about me. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born of my house is mine heir. He said, God, I got a problem with this. You promised me a land, but you haven't fulfilled it. You haven't fulfilled what I need. If I'm going to have a land and that's going to be my land, I need an heir. The only thing I got is this guy called Eliezer. Does anybody get that name right there? Eliezer. He said, he's of my group, but he's not of my own flesh and blood. God says, don't you worry. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He said, really? And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said to them, so shall thy seed be. Notice verse 6. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He simply said, I believe in that seed that I don't know so much about. That seed is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't got to know a lot about God. You just got to know he's got a son. Amen. And that son died on the cross for you. And when a person will accept that, boom, just like that, instantaneously, he gets saved. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad we're getting the baptistry. But the folks going into the baptistry are going in saved. Amen. And they're coming out saved. They're not getting saved in the baptistry. They're coming out and coming out. They're getting saved going into the baptistry. Abram is saved. Abram shows us that he believes God. He said, God, he said, I'm going to offer you a sacrifice. In those days when you sealed a deal, you gave something of your own to seal the deal with. So the offering here is not God offering, it's Abram saying, God, I want to give you something. The devil came down and tried, the fowls of the air came down and tried to eat the sacrifice up, and Abram shooed them off. Folks, When they get saved, they want to get saved. The devil's going to try, but it's not up to God. It's up to them to say, hey, I want this more than I want anything. When a person, so Abram gets saved. Notice verse 18. And the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. He came down to that new Christian, and he says to him, he said, unto thy seed have I given this land. There's his promise. Look up at verse 16. No, yeah, go up to chapter 16. Go to verse 3. Now, I'm going to take you. Here's what happened. Abram hears from God, gets saved in chapter 15. He gets saved. He gives him a promise that he's going to have a seed. How bad did Abram want that seed? He wanted it bad. Look what chapter 16, verse 3, right at the end of it. Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Now, folks, here's what happened. God comes to him, tells him, he gets saved, and he says, you're going to have a seed. First year went by, no seed. Second year went by, no seed. Third year went by, no seed. He's still saved. Fourth year, fifth year. Sarah, we gotta have a seed. Man's always gonna blame it on the woman. Look at 16 verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. 10 years. Abram lived with that desire to see that seed. It didn't happen. Here's what happens to you and I. The just shall live by faith, not by flesh. Here's what happened. They said, let's work out a plan to make this work. Let's work out a plan to make this work. And Sarah says, well, I'm sure not having any children. We've been trying for 10 years. That ain't going to happen. Sarah says, I'll tell you what to do. Let's do what everybody does. Why don't you go unto Hagar, and you can have a child through her. That's what happened here. He said, hey, I've been waiting 10 years. Maybe that's God's plan after. You know how easy it is to accept what the flesh wants? It is so easy to accept what the flesh wants. Oh, let's just do it our way. Now, folks, now watch. Because now I'm going over to chapter 16, verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to him. Watch this. He got promised in verse 12, in chapter 12. I believe he was 76 years of age. He gets saved in chapter 15. He waits 10 years for the promise from the beginning of 15. Another 13 years. He's now 86 years of age. And Ishmael is born unto him. Folks, it takes a while for the flesh to produce, but when it does, it's around for a while. Faith is going to last into eternity. Flesh is going to last for a while. Here comes Ishmael. Boy, that's all he wanted. But you notice the trouble that happened to him? Now, watch this. We go from verse 16 to 17:1. In one verse period, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, he went from 86 to 99. He went another 13 years. Folks, God is never late. He's always on time.
Amen.
Whatever God's trying to do to your life, don't rush him. He'll get there. Don't you worry about God being on time. Another 13 years go by, and the Lord appeared to Abram. Notice the name Abram. That's his earthly name. And said unto him, Abram, you're about to meet the Almighty God. You're not just going to meet God, the Lord. You're going to meet the Almighty God that is going to work in your life. And I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. The breathing out of God. Abraham. He said, now I got news for you. And he laid out his promises here. I will make thee, verse 6, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. Abram, you've been struggling for 20-some years. He says, Abram, when I turn on the spigot, you're going to have children like you never saw before. And we ain't done with this thing yet. And so up in verse 10, he said, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Why didn't God just say, Abram, I'm going to make your hand with you. Abram, I'm going to give you a win. Abram, I'm going to make your ears, I don't know, something. Why did he say he's going to circumcise you? Notice what it says in verse 11. And he shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. Ladies, sit down for just a minute. We'll help you. Men, he said to him, Abram, trusting in your flesh, I'm going to make your flesh a reminder to you not to give into the flesh. He said, Abram, please, I'm not trying to be crude in any way. I'm trying to be telling you what the Bible tells me. Abram, I'm going to take that little thing that you depended up so much in, and I'm going to let it be a reminder to you from now on, do not trust the flesh. He said, this shall be a token. Watch what he says. This shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. He said, Abram, if you read this, and you read it as the way God intended it, he said, Abram, I want you to take and cut back the foreskin. Folks, I'm telling you, that was an ordeal Abram never forgot. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm trying to be honest with you. Folks, he was reminded of his mistake every day of his life. Every day he had emptied up the impurities out of his body, he realized he was impure. He realized how weak he was, because every time that circumcision was a reminder. You know what happens to many Christians? You are reminded of your infirmities, but you forget that you serve the one who is perfect. You don't look at your salvation through the eyes of God. You look at your salvation through your eyes. You take the book of Hebrews, and I'm telling you, when you look at salvation through the eyes of God, he sees you as holy. I get tired of folks that say, be ye holy as I am holy. I got to be like Jesus or he'll do anything for me. I got news for you. You are like Jesus. Amen? There's a sign of you that he is in you. He is up. He is there for you. You don't got to do nothing. All you got to do is look at your flesh and realize I have nothing to offer God, but I have everything to offer God if I live in faith. Exactly what he's saying here. He comes to him. And now he starts to call him Abraham. When Abraham believed God, the Almighty God, his life changed. You know your problem? You still got a small change, Jesus. I got a great big God. Amen. I got one who parts the waters. I got one who walks. I got one who made the mountains. I got one who hung the stars in his place. I got one who owns it all. Amen. Here's the problem with our world. We got people that believe that they can control the climate. I serve a God who controls the climate. Amen. All I got to do is I can read this Bible and I can read where God throws up the wind. Jesus stood up and said, what manner of this of a man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? He's the Son of God. Amen. He's not the weatherman. You and I, you do it and I do it too. Oh, man, it's supposed to rain. I go golfing every Friday, don't I, Mr. Kern? I have been doing that for 12 years. I got a friend. We go golfing. About Monday, he'll say, well, don't look like we're going to go golfing this week. It looks like the weatherman says it's going to rain. I said, I don't mean nothing. I don't mean a thing. I said, yep, about Wednesday, he'll call me, yep, don't look good. I said, that don't mean a thing. I got to the golf course a couple of weeks ago, and he called me. He said, well, he said, well, I'm going to be golfing. It's raining. I said, I'm not there yet. I got there. It stopped raining. Now, I'm not saying for me. I'm just saying I would just trust God. I'm not going to trust the weatherman. I'm not going to trust my friend's eyes. We golfed that whole day. It never rained. Got in my car to go home. Boom, the water came. Folks, I'm just telling you, God's interested in our lives. And if he turns off the spigot's turned off. If he turns it off, when God took and blew that cold air down to Texas, he's just getting Texas's attention. Texas, you're thinking you're too good right now. I'm going to show you who charges. All the liberals got excited and said, boy, we told you we could do something. And boy, they're doing cartwheels over this. Because they think their point is proven. I know God's point is proven. He still holds the weapon. So Abraham comes here. Verse 21, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, remember we forgot that Sarah? Sarah's the one that gave up and told Abram to go in unto Hagar. You see, folks, this is just a lesson of what the preacher was talking about last week. In the garden, Eve gave up and said to Abram, will you take this with me? And they ate the apple together. They ate it together. Remember the Bible says the man and woman is one flesh. He talked some things last week that we as husbands and wives ought to consider being on the same page with God and what God's doing in our lives. And he says, Abraham, let me talk to you about Sarah for just a minute. Thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Folks, she's up there at almost 100 years of age. I'm telling you this, she didn't do a happy dance. She looked at her weakness and said, woe is me. You look over, you go over to chapter 18, verse 10. Verse 9, first of all. And they said unto them, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee accordingly to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She was dead in the womb. Folks, that's from God, and that is best. My Savior died on the cross and went into a place called hell. God said, that's what I would best. And up out of the grave of the dead, he arose. Amen. And he sits today on that throne that he occupied before it all existed. Folks, I'm telling you, my salvation is not based upon my life. My salvation is based upon what Jesus did. Amen? When you and I begin to see that Abram trusted that God could raise life out of the dead. You and I were dead in our trespasses and sin, and God is willing to use us. Why? Because he made you and I a promise and told us to go. The just shall live by faith. When you and I begin to see it's not our things that have to work, it's God working in us through us, His will to do. Amen? God saw long before He saw Kyrie Cities, God said, you know something, I'm not going to build it. I just got to find me a man that wants to follow me. He didn't look very far. And he found a man that said, I want to do what God wants. And then God went out and found some people that said, I'll do what God wants too. Hold on, folks, I'm telling you this story here. We see now Abel. We see this. We see Abram, he was back there in chapter 12. He just heard about heaven. Didn't know much about it, just heard about a land. And he went. And in chapter 15, we see Abram as he says, okay, God, I'm making this covenant with you. One day, you ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. Jesus said, I'll do that. And then he said, now I'm going to show you who I am. You didn't know what you got when you got saved, amen? I didn't know. I said, here's my prayer to God. God, I'm not much, but what I am, you can have. I didn't know what I was saying. I just knew I had said it to Him, and I knew something changed. And God raised life out of death. We see Sarah here, is now she's chosen there. But folks, you start reading what happens here. To Sarah and to Abraham. Folks, there's a lot of trials before God's blessings for us. Amen? He's just told them, I got something for you. He hasn't given them anything yet. They still got Ishmael. Take your Bibles if you would. And go with me to chapter 18. Go to chapter 20. We're going to skip on. God has taken this man. All He's done so far is to save him. Look at the first part of chapter 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur. I hate these words, and preacher, you will too. And he sojourned in Gerizim. So many times, just when God had the blessing on the tip of His hand, and he sojourned, we slow down. We back it up. We want to contemplate what's God going to do. Do we really want to get this involved with God? And he slow, and he sojourned. And he ran into a man named Abimelech. Abimelech took one look at this 100-year-old woman and said, wow, she ain't bad. That's the English version. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. And Abimelech said, I like what I see. He went to sleep that night, and God said, let me talk to you, Abimelech, in your dream. Abimelech, you better take your eyes someplace else, because my hand's on that one. But notice this. Difficulties are raised by God. Take a look and go down into verse 17. And so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children, for the Lord had fast closed up the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. He said, you know what I did? I got some trouble down the road, but don't you worry. I got control of the trouble down the road. I just want to make your faith strong. And sometimes down the road, God doesn't jump to our commands just when we think He's going to jump. And God simply said to Abimelech, He said, I got to shut the womb because I got a trial for you, and I got to prove myself to this man named Abraham. Sometimes God's just trying to see what you're going to do to your enemies. Abraham prayed for his enemies. Prayed for the one that caused him trouble. You ever have anybody throw a stone in your Christian life and you want to turn on it? God says, pray for that. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you,
amen.
It don't get any better. And then we go into chapter 21. I like this. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Amen. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son of his old age at the set time of which God had spoken of, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him, and Abraham was 100 years old. Folks, that which God promised when he was 75, God said, don't you worry about it. At 100 years of age, he got that young boy born to him, that one he was going to trust in. Amen. 47 years ago, I trusted in Jesus Christ, my Savior, and those promises are as fresh today as they were 47 years ago. God's got a home in heaven waiting. Amen. He's going to be my God from that day till that day. And when I get there, I'll be with his son forevermore. Amen. You begin to see this. He said, because, and then he goes on and he begins to talk. God is with thee. Is that the first one? God is with thee in all that thou doest. Verse 22. And then you go over to verse 20, chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. You keep that attitude. Now we're way into Isaac's teenage years, maybe even later than that, probably. You get what God's going to give you. God says, now, will you trust me with it? You know, you prayed for that promotion. You prayed for that blessing. God gave it to you. He said, now there's no turn over to me. I'm simply saying to you that here in these verses, we see that circumcision was when you realize your flesh cannot fulfill God's will in your life. The just shall live by faith. God has a reminder for you and I, the flesh will not fulfill the will of God. The only place that you and I will ever have happiness is in this book. I think I wrote it here. I'm not sure. Let's see. I don't know if I did or not. But anyway, I said to myself, do not take time to read your Bible. Make time to read your Bible. If you say, I'm going to read my Bible when I got time, you won't have time. But if you say, I'm going to read my Bible at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock. I'm going to read my Bible at 6 o'clock. I'm going to read my Bible at 7. I don't care when you say, but when you say, I'm going to read my Bible, you make God's promise and say, God, I'm going to get in that book. God says, the just shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is our platform, our foundation. The Holy Spirit that lives within us is there to help build this word in our lives. He is not preaching his opinion. He is preaching forth the word of God. He does not get paid to preach. He doesn't get paid to pray. We couldn't afford to pay him if we paid him for the time he spends praying. Skilled labor. He's not a novice. That's skilled labor. He's not a novice in this book. You spend hours and hours and hours reading and praying and thinking and reading and praying and thinking and reading and praying and thinking. You do it for an hour a day and you're worn out. If he does it for just an hour a day, we'd be all taken off. Come here on a Thursday morning when the men pray. We go through 1, 2, 3, 4, we go through 6 guys. we're all gone. I promise you this. I promise you this. The last man is still up here praying. I stood here one day. I came in another day to see him. He was still there praying, and he was mentioning your names. He has a list there. He's not writing that down for him. He's writing that down for you. Folks, I simply see it. The just shall live by faith, not by accident. We know what God's going to do with our trusting. We got a book here that tells us all about it. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. Father, we thank you for your goodness. I'm so thankful. It took Abraham how many years to realize all that he had. Heavenly Father, the minute I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, you made yourself known to me. You heard my cry. You saved me and sealed me till the day of redemption. Oh, Heavenly Father, I got it all in a matter of moments. Oh, Father in heaven, I pray that I might be faithful to you in the days to come. Oh, my God, my God, my God. I thank you for our respected church. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the blessings of knowing that I'm amongst those of like-minded. Father, bless our church in Christ's precious name.